Many of you have noticed on the bulletin board as you came in the big sign for the Rosary Crusade that we are launching throughout Asia at the request of Bishop Fure. You can, there's some instructions there just next to the board. Just write your initial in one of the boxes, one of the time slots. Start first of all with the regular rosaries that you say, whether as a group, as a family, when you get together sometimes you pray. It's usually at the same time. Start with there and then find a time slot for your own personal rosary that you can say. If some of you travel, don't worry, just keep the same time or as close as possible. We leave that to God. As we hope to have enough in all the time slots of 15 minutes so that if people forget or if people travel, if there's a daylight saving, change of time or whatever, that there will always be somebody, at least every second there'll be dozens and dozens of Hail Marys going up towards heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brethren, let us continue to speak on the Holy Rosary, because we have been given this weapon. This weapon, it's a ladder, it's a weapon, it's food. The Holy Rosary is so many things, and often we neglect it, we forget it, we ignore it. And we'll be sorry one day not to have made better use of the Holy Rosary, when we will see, please God, in heaven, the power of that little prayer, these little beads, the power of attached to this devotion. We will be sorry. I knew, but why didn't I take it more seriously? In the last 800 years, since the time of St. Dominic, St. Dominic received the organization of the rosary. He did not invent the prayers, but the way the rosary is laid out. He received that in 1214, so it's almost 800 years now. There have been innumerable, countless victories of the Holy Rosary. And we talk about real victories. It can be either victories over personal temptations, family difficulties, social problems, international problems. And we can say in many ways these victories of the Rosary have changed, some of them have changed the history of man. Europe would not be Catholic today had there not been these victories of the Rosary. And Europe is losing the Catholic faith because people are stopping to say the Rosary. We're back at the time of St. Dominic. Tomorrow is his feast day, August 4th. St. Dominic, as a young priest, very smart, he saw the problem. There's big problems in his days, in the south of France, in Spain, northern Italy. Problem, these heretics are called the Albigenses. There's a place in the south of France called Albi. And so it was called Albigenses from where it started. And these people were changing many things in religion, denying the divinity of our Lord, changing marriage. There's usually impurity involved in all these things. And dissolving marriage, saying marriage does not, it's an invention of the devil. You don't need to get married to be together. And so people living in sin. And so St. Dominic was seeing this, and he was praying and he was trying. He had preached, he had done all he could. But one day he got the inspiration to pray more, and he did 3 days of fasting and praying and penance, whipping himself. And my God, please, please, my God, what is the answer? I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. And then Our Lady appeared to him, and she said this: Dear Dominic, you want to know which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform this world. Well, I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram, you know, this beam that they use to open doors of castles, and the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter. which is the foundation of the New Testament. Therefore, if you want to reach these hardened souls and win them over to God, preach my Psalter. The word Psalter here is a reference to the Bible, the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms. So the Rosary is called Our Lady's Psalter, 150 Hail Marys. And St. Dominic said, all right. And he started giving sermons. He had prepared the beautiful sermons when he had to preach to theologians and in these big French basilicas. And he said, no, I'll put that away. I just explain to people how to say the Rosary. And these great university professors and great doctors of the church and so on, they heard about the Rosary. They were not praying. They were maybe very smart, but they were not praying enough. And they started to pray, and France started to change. And the Dominicans then spread this devotion throughout Europe and throughout the world, wherever they went. And do you know why popes wear white cassocks? Because one of these Dominicans one day became pope. And the first one, he said, well, I will not change my habit. And his name was Pius V. We are SSPX. Well, he was Pius V. We are Pius X, he is Pius V. And St. Pius V, therefore, being a Dominican, knew the power of the Rosary. He knew the importance of it. That was his life. He was the order of preachers, the son of St. Dominic. And he said, I know this Rosary that we carry on next to us like a sword, like a crusader going to the battle, well, always has a sword. Well, we have the Rosary hanging on our side. And let us preach it. And as Pope, he said, okay, I will do something only a Pope can do. So he called a crusade when he heard of this Muslim army coming in the Adriatic Sea, coming to invade Europe. He heard about it, they're on the way. And so he contacted the Catholic kings of Europe. He said, get together, go out there and meet them, and meanwhile we will be saying the Rosary. So he got the whole of Europe on its knees for weeks and months to pray the Rosary, because they knew that if they lost the battle, you know, their churches will be changed into mosques and God knows what, and the wives raped and killed and so on. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and Don Juan of Austria, who was leading the fleet, had on the main ship a beautiful picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And people on board, the sailors on board were saying the Rosary. And at the moment when they were about to start a big battle and the wind was against them and they were going to lose, because in these days there were sailboats, the wind suddenly changed. And that change of wind brought about the victory. And way back in Rome, 1,000 miles away, Pius V was there praying the Rosary, and he had a vision, and he saw the battle changing and the victory of Our Lady. And that's why we have the feast of October 7th, Our Lady of the Rosary, which was called before Our Lady of Victories, to make people realize that the Rosary brings victories. After him, well, different countries have tried it. It was Manila in the Philippines in about 50 years later, no, a bit more, 1646, 70 years later, when the Dutch Protestant fleet was arriving in Manila Bay to trying to take over Manila. And there was, I forget how many naval ships for the Dutch, and the Filipinos had almost nothing. They had just a few commercial vessels and very few equipment on board, but they went out, but they had their rosaries, and God just got them 15 victories over about 20 years. That's why in the Philippines she's called Our Lady of La Naval, with all the naval victories that the Rosary brought. And it was spectacular. A few years later it was in Vienna, in Austria, again in 1683. Throughout the 8th and 20th century, there was many clear victories obtained by the recitation of this prayer. In Chile, a few decades ago, I think in the 60s, or no, back in the 50s or 60s, the communists wanted to impose divorce. 100,000 people went on the street to say the Rosary. Divorce did not go through. in Austria just after the war, when they had divided Europe, and the Russians, the communists, had part of Austria, and Vienna was included. And there was one Franciscan priest who said, no, we have to do something. And he started his Crusade of the Rosary, and even got ministers of parliament to join in. And after a few years, finally, on May 13th, I forget what year, it was in the 1950s, finally Moscow said, okay, we give up. They had lost the elections, and they said, well, we're not going to do war, we give up. It was on May 13th for the victory of the Rosary. And so we have to continue, my dear friend. We have to believe it is really David and Goliath. What are we? 100 people. What is, you know, the battle going on in the church? But how did David defeat Goliath? Goliath was equipped with all his armaments and all his big sword and a helmet and 7-foot soldiers, and David was just a shepherd. But David had a sling and some pebbles or some beads. And he got Goliath with one of these little pebbles on his forehead, and Goliath just fell down. It was not through a sword that he won the battle, but through that little rock, we could say, like, almost like a rosary bead, that he won the battle. Well, this is the battle that we are waging as well. And why is the rosary so powerful, you might ask? What's so special? It's so small, just Hail Mary, you know. It's so powerful because Our Lady has been assumed into heaven, my dear brethren. In a few days we have the Assumption. She is the Queen of heaven and earth, the Queen of angels. She has pleased God so much while on earth that God has put all power in her hands in heaven. And so whatever she says happens, because she is the mediatrix. She has fought with our Lord the battle of Calvary, and now she reigns with him in the glory of heaven. And so Our Lady is the mediatrix. She has all the graces. That's why in the Hail Mary we have the word, and it almost opens the New Testament, Hail Gratia Plena, full of grace. We don't understand, we say these things hundreds of times a day, full of grace. She has all the answers to absolutely every problem. And then we say, pray for us. Our Lady is so rich. You say, well, why doesn't she give? Just give it to us and bring peace in the world and families. Well, there's a law of God. We must ask for it. We must say, please, like we teach little children. Asking for it means to say, pray for us. Pray for us now, right now, Blessed Mother, now, because every moment, every day we wake up to new problems in the family, problems at work, problems in our nations, problems between nations, problems in your own heart, new temptations, difficulty, whatever. Now, pray for us, pray for me now. Blessed Mother, pray for us. And Our Lady is waiting, and Our Lady gives these sometimes miraculous graces, like in Lepanto and like other places, when there's enough Hail Mary to make the scale tilt. And then she says, here it is, and you will not repent. And I will give you more, but keep asking. Every day we have to say, that's why we're doing this crusade, my dear brethren. Bishop Ferrer has launched it, as I told you last Sunday. He leaves it to each priest, each superior, to decide the way we're going to do it. Well, Bishop Ferrer wants this time a perpetual rosary, so non-stop, 24 hours, 7 days a week, rosary for a period. It's up to us to decide. We in Asia have decided to do it between August 15 and December 8, two beautiful dates of Our Blessed Lady. And being through different time zones between India and New Zealand, there's 7.5 hours time zone. So even if you cannot get up at midnight, whatever, well, in India it'll be only 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m., so we will be able to compensate, and there'll be somebody. I will put all the grids together, and so we have a complete non-stop rosary being said at every minute between August 15 and December 8. Actually, we can already start filling the grid and the back as you leave this morning. Take a little slip of paper to remember, write down on that piece of paper your time slot, the 15 minute bracket that you chose for your rosary. Try to remember. It's not a question of quantity, although we will get the quantity. Here it's a question of discipline. We want this continuity. like Our Lady said, the battering ram is like a machine gun, it has to go non-stop. And we will have it. There has been these great dates in history, like Lepanto in 1571. Let us really work hard for that. We will have Rome 2008 victory of the Rosary. The victory over what? What are we praying precisely for? 2 years ago we prayed for the freedom of the Mass. And you see, cardinals were telling Bishop Fillet in Rome, said, we know the Mass has never been abrogated. We know. He had heard it from many cardinals. And so he was telling them, why can't you say that publicly? Say it publicly. And he said, well, we can't. But if this is the truth, well, say it publicly. We can't. There's too much opposition. Bishops' conferences, whole countries' bishops are blocking this. We offered 2.5 million rosaries, and the obstacle was removed. The document came out. And it was clearly, and that the people in the Vatican who are close to us, they have said, you know, thanks to the what you have done, the spiritual bouquet that has brought about this change of events. Clearly, the people throughout the whole world. Now we're doing the same. Bishop Fillet said, no longer for the Mass, but we saw that it worked. Now we're going to do it to obtain the, if you want, the rehabilitation of tradition. There's a sting attached to tradition, and particularly to SSPX and our four bishops. This what we call the excommunication. It's like a scarecrow scaring people away from coming to the Mass and from doing something with the society. And the Vatican is, many cardinals have told the same thing, cardinals and prelates, to Bishop Fillet. They say in private, we know that you're not excommunicated. We know you're part of the church. You're even more part of the church than the others. We know you have the faith. So we say, but why can't you say that publicly? No, we can't. We can't. There's too many obstacles. A few years ago, when under Pope John Paul II, they were talking about bringing back the Mass. Two cardinals, well, a cardinal and a bishop from France, flew to the Vatican. At the first sound of this, starting these discussions with SSPX, it was January 2001, after the Holy Year. And this cardinal of France said to the Pope, if you do anything for SSPX, I forget the exact words, but if you do anything in favor of them, 65 French bishops will leave the church. We're walking out. If you let them in, we walk out. And not just one or two, half the French bishop. It's going to be bloody when it happens. It's going to be a real schism in the church. But we will know who's Catholic and who's not. There's many right now who are preaching, who are dressed as Catholic priests and bishops, who are heretics, who are not Catholic. They're denying the truth. They're denying hell. They're denying so many truths of the faith. And they have to put the mask down. And we want to see that as well. So there's a tremendous fight. So we cannot just be there and be watching and what's going to happen next. We have to get on our knees and get the rosaries and start praying more, or organizing our prayer, or lining up all the shooting in the right direction, non-stop. That's what we have to do, and that's what Bishop Fillet is asking. A sustained effort. What we're asking is tremendous. The rehabilitation of Archbishop Lefebvre, of the whole of tradition, that what Archbishop Lefebvre has stood for is correct, is right. It's not just SSPX, like some communities who just want to be recognized and then that's it. We are like the tip of the iceberg. We're representing 2,000 years of church teaching and church worship, and by rehabilitating, by recognizing that the work of Archbishop Lefebvre is correct, is good, is holy, it's the whole of tradition, it's the whole world that will benefit from it. So my dear brethren, let us enter, sign in, please stand up and be counted, as we say. You know, now is the time, put your name on that sheet, on that board and the bulletin board, and stick to it until December 8th. You might have to adjust a little bit if you see that there's already few families or a little slot is full, I'll go to the next one. Go to the next one. Let's try to work together so that we have a constant rosary and that we will win this battle. And that at the end, God will know when it is. I don't know the secrets of God, but when it does come, St. Paul says, our trust is in God. Indeed it is. When it comes, well, you'll be able to say, well, I was part of this victory. Just like you can see the two little pictures there on the board. One is the victory of Lepanto. The other is Don Bosco's two dreams. Well, those who prayed for these victories, you know, and they heard about it, and said, well, I'm glad I prayed too. I threw my little pebble to the giant Goliath, and he got knocked down too. So let us pray to our Blessed Lady that we here, all of us, we may bring about as soon as possible her triumph and see the consequence, the beautiful consequences of her triumph here on earth and then for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.